Welcome aboard, you people. Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc. It's on for another day of broadcast insolence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what goes on around here.
That's right. Insolence. I found it interesting. I know John Williams talked to Buttigieg. He lived in Chicago twice. Isn't that interesting? He was here for an NBC5 internship back in the day when he was in college studying under Renee Ferguson, which I thought was interesting. She had a very active internship program and even lived with her for a period of time. She called him her other son. And then also another time when he was working for McKinsey. He lived downtown here. So he's got, he knows the lay of the land in the Chicago area.
Interesting.
Miller's Pub, his favorite pub, he said. And Billy Goat's
Tavern. Oh, that's an out-of-towner thing.
Bit of a conventioneer's stop, yeah, if you happen to be in that area.
I mean, there are some regulars in there.
I like Miller's Pub. I'm a fan.
I have not had a bad meal there, but it is a... Although it was funny when they redid it a couple of years ago, people got all up in arms. Like
I know,
the regulars,
don't change it.
The people who work in those buildings, there's a couple of office buildings right there that people are like that. That's the neighborhood piece for that.
Mm-hmm.
Says I was never in that neighborhood, but it is. But it's interesting.
1935 is when it opened, though. I mean, so it's kind of a landmark. It's been there a while, and it's good food and whatever. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Say hi to Pete and Nick if you're over there for me. Okay.
Oh, is Pete working over there?
Pete and Nick. Jimmy, all three. Yeah. The Galeoses.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is Nick there? That's the
Nick is the game.
Is Nick there? That's the game. You call a Greek restaurant and you go, "Hey, is Nick there?" And if they go, "Hold on," you win.
Yes, and it's not hard to do. My dad's name was Nick.
Or Nick who? Which Nick?
Which one?
Yeah, that's
which
extra,
one?
Extra points when you call and they which one? Then you know that's 2 points for that. 1 point for hold on.
You said I didn't mean Nick. I meant Pete. Jimmy. How about Jimmy?
Or Gus?
Gus. That's what I was a go to.
Yeah.
A lot of Gus's.
And finally, Chris. Is Chris there?
Or Christos on second reference.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks to the Greek Americans who have had fine dining establishments.
I like how you know
across
how you worked
Chicago
a
area.
Buttigieg
yeah,
mentioned
into a plug for Miller's.
Yeah, and for the Greek community and the Galeos family.
Of course, why not?
Better stuff. Hey, I have an issue with the Buttigieg's right now.
Why is that? What did they do that bothered you?
Well, we've been trying to get him on the show for, we call him every week. We're getting all of the people on. But he, especially since he's from South Bend, which is basically a Chicago suburb, right? And half this town goes to South Bend at any given moment.
I was just near there this weekend.
Yeah, right? Didn't your sister go to Notre Dame?
She did.
Yeah. We got a ton of Notre Dame people around here. And so this, they have him on. I mean, one would imagine it's kind of the Illinois primary. Well, if he's still in it by then, which by the way, I'm going to predict he's not based on what I'm about to say,
mm-hmm.
but it's ridiculous that, he doesn't want to do as much. He's coming back here. He's getting set up. So we literally this morning,
mm-hmm.
we called his press secretary. Oh, no, he's not available for interviews today.
What?
And then they reached out directly. Good on them. They reached out directly to the text line.
Okay. To say, okay, now we're ready.
To say, now we're ready. And John was on. John got him. And that's great. And that's all, well and good. And I'm sure that Radio Elif has been, mm-hmm. Trying to follow
working
up with
too.
Them, work them too. So they ended up getting it. But... it's like, but then we called back and we're like, well, wait, we put a request in this morning. Why didn't you just say yes as opposed to reaching out blindly at that point? And they're like, oh, I don't really know. Well, when you have people at the press office who don't really know.
Not good.
Lori Lightfoot just learned that the hard way. She just had to change her press operations. Mm-hmm. It tells you something about where the campaign is. Because the press operation is critically important.
Very much so.
In a campaign. Because it's the free media that'll get you. Buying ads is one thing. Getting proper placement in places. And I've noticed he hasn't had really great placement of late. He's in this. There's another debate coming up here in about an hour and a half, isn't there? Isn't there like a debate coming up? I always look at the countdown clocks for when these things are. I think it's NBC's got this one again.
Yeah, they said 10 have now qualified for it, so they're trying to, let's see.
Whoever's got that, yeah.
Julian Castro officially qualified as...
Julian! Right, you got to remember there's an accent on
Houston,
the A.
Houston.
What was the phrase again?
Oh, ya asta?
Ya basta.
Ya basta.
Ya basta.
Ya basta. is what Julian Cruz said in some sort of like YouTube something or another about the president.
It was his ad that he put out
just
into
made up a word.
Wide circulation.
Yamasa. Okay, dude. But anyway, so back to Buttigieg. Mm-hmm. You need a new press secretary, Mayor Pete. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would get on that. Because, you know, free media being offered, take it. Oh, I'm sorry, it's very, very busy. What's he in a car? What is he doing? So I just, you know,
you have an issue with that. So.
I do. And one wonders about that. And we get told no a lot more than we get told yes. But to have it be consistent for a next door neighbor presidential candidate who actually kind of sits on the periphery of the next rung down, right? I mean, he's possible. Yeah. He sits on the outside with an ability to strike here.
He does.
Because he checks a lot of boxes.
His fundraising is doing well, and his poll numbers are well. He's there. He's not in the zone of Biden or Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris, but he's certainly in that top five range.
Right. He's not going to do
the polls.
Particularly great with African American evangelicals, which is a significant voting block in the Democratic Party. And so he's going to need as much help as he can possibly get. And Chicago is a place that he should be sucking up to.
So it's September 12th and 13th. You're right, very close to where we are now. I hate to admit that because that would mean summer is almost over, but it is. And it's September 12th and 13th in Houston, the next two debates. You have to poll at least 2% in the polls and have 130,000 unique donors in order to qualify. So out of the 23 people, I think, Democrats still left after your boy Hinkenlooper dropped out, 23 left, only 10 so far have qualified.
Hinkenlooper.
I know you really wanted to see him in the debate.
Yes, I like when guys are stoned in the debate. That's my favorite thing. Biden just acts like he's stoned. He's not actually stoned. He's stoned on Lipitor is what he is.
Hopefully he'll be able to remember the name of his
anything.
Well, yeah. Particularly his own campaign website and how to donate.
Did you see that his wife? This is how screwed up the Democrats are.
She did come to his rescue today.
The wife was like, hey, you may think he's kind of nuts, but he's the only one who can win. So you got to vote for him.
Settle for Joe. Was
see,
what I heard.
Like a guy like a Buttigieg, he can take advantage of that. Because, he checks a lot of boxes in terms of, I mean, he's very articulate. He's a guy that well makes his argument and can... And he seems reasonable and rational.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get a lot of that. And he's also not prone to gaffe after gaffe after gaffe after gaffe.
Right. I think Jill Biden, to be fair to her, she was talking about electability, and she believes that some of the others might not necessarily be electable in a head-to-head with Donald Trump.
Kamala Harris. All right, I gotta go. Let's check in with Jen DeSalvo. What's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour? Then Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN TV newsroom.
Another airline is dropping the Boeing 737 MAX jet from its schedule.
Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. You know who's joining us right now from the super celebrity microphone stand at the WGN TV news room is, of course, Ben Bradley.
Hello.
Hello, Ben.
Benjamin.
Happy rainy Tuesday to you.
Yeah, it feels very autumnal, doesn't it, today?
It does.
Let's hope this isn't the day where it turns.
Oh, God.
No, we've got time. It's not going to happen.
Oh. And, all right, Ben, got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I walked over to City Hall right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I knocked
to pay your parking tickets?
Yes. And then I went upstairs to the fifth floor.
Ah.
And I knocked on the mayor's office door. Would she be there?
She would not be there. She is enjoying...
Where is she?
She's in Maine, enjoying a week of family vacation.
Oh, family vacation.
Which is great.
Kids are going back to school, probably, right?
It's great. Yeah. Normally not newsworthy.
Well, one kid or two kids?
She has one daughter.
One daughter, okay.
Yep.
Right. All right.
Normally not newsworthy, except for the fact you may remember back in June, the new mayor ordered all Chicago Police Command staff to cancel their summer travel plans. And when the department's number two guy, Anthony Riccio, didn't do it because he had made the plans months and months earlier, I'm sure there were deposits and whatnot paid, she blasted him publicly, telling reporters she was extremely disappointed that he wouldn't follow her orders and that police command staff need to set an example. As recently as last week, the mayor told reporters that people always come up to her and say, oh, boy, mayor, you work so hard. Shouldn't you take time off? And she said, no.
Because people always say that to everybody. That's the first thing you say. My God, when are you going to take a vacation?
You look exhausted.
When is the last time anybody said that to anybody?
Well, you've had a few bosses suggest you go on vacation.
Yeah, well, that's separate.
Fox News Channel has told a couple of on-air folks to take a vacation.
CNN
told Chris Cuomo now on vacation. But yeah, you're right. I'm just saying that she's talked about all of this in a very public setting, which is why when we learned today that she is, in fact, enjoying a vacation, we thought it was newsworthy to report. So we've just posted a story at WGNTV.com, including a response from her spokesperson who said that she checks in twice
new
a day.
New one? The new spokesperson?
This is her press secretary.
Not the communications director.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So look, the point is there's a little hypocrisy going on. Yes, she's doesn't, you know, have a gun and a badge and riding around busting the bad guys. But when you tell your police command staff that
wasn't that just after she took office, so she had no control over what had happened before, and wasn't it just as they were launching a new crime fighting strategy? I mean, I get it. Maybe she should have been more flexible with people who had already put down payments down in deposits.
Well,
but
maybe
at some point,
just shouldn't have talked about it publicly. She shouldn't have publicly shamed a guy for taken vacation. She should have investigated.
She also
why he was doing it. Was there a special circumstance? Look, our job as reporters is simply to point out when politicians say one thing but do another.
Hmm. Well, the other thing is next week when she returns will be one of her biggest weeks because she's going to make that primetime address on August 29th to the city about how the budget hole is larger than anticipated. She says Rahm Emanuel's regime told everybody one thing and that it's actually quite a bit higher than what was told publicly, and that she's going to make the case not only for what it is, but how we're going to fill it without doing too much harm to our citizens.
Yep.
It's a big week.
She wants to raise a transfer tax on pricey real estate in Chicago, anything over $1 million, which is that particular sector of the real estate market has already been battered by
it's
the increase.
It's been slowing down.
It's almost impossible. Things are not moving at that number the way that they were moving at that number.
Right.
People who can afford the taxes on $1 million home are the kind of people that you like to keep around in a tax base.
Well, and sure. I was going to add that let's not forget that these taxes don't operate, you know, in a bubble or in a silo, right? So the same people there that you're hitting with the increased tax are the same people who are also getting hit with Governor Pritzker's increased taxes.
Right.
And
it does
there
make
is a lot
for
of pressure.
A reason.
Yeah.
It makes. I mean, it makes an economic decision. And these are people who also have had the flexibility to move. Generally, they have more flexibility than people who are making less money.
Than the rest of us schmoes who are stuck here.
Yes.
Just say it, Rob.
Yeah, all right, that's what I mean. So,
well, you're right. If you own a business, you could probably, you know, you could live out of the city if you wanted to, and you could commute in, sure.
Yeah, or out of
state. Maybe you have a second home in Florida, and you know what? You spend 50% plus one day down there.
I saw a guy over the weekend. Mm-hmm. A guy I've known for years and years and years and years. And it was one of the least anticipated people that I would ever imagine to this. He's like he's a Chicagoan. He's from a Chicago family that's been in business here forever and ever and ever. And they were, and he's, and you know, he was like a dyed-in-the-wool guy. And he's like, you know, also one of those summer guys that, you know, you always see him at every summer event. And you're like, this and this.
Wearing loafers
right.
without socks.
Exactly, without socks. Exactly right.
And I know him.
A shirt,
an ascot,
unbuttoned.
Yes, and a captain's hat. Yes.
Yes.
That's your outfit, right?
Robbie, let's get to the Columbia Yacht Club.
He stole your look, Rome.
No, this is one of those guys that's like, it like, looks like he's always in like a nightclub and his shirt is unbuttoned down to about mid-sternum and all that.
He's not getting dirty a lot.
No, but, but you know, good-looking guy. Anyway, he decided he's like, you know what? I'm not doing it. Because he has his own business now. He's got his own business that is, you know, like sort of a national distribution company. And he doesn't need to be here. And he's like, I got to get out of here for the taxes. Huh. I cannot be here. So he's got a place in Florida. And he's like, I'm gonna live down there for, you know, 7-8 months.
Mm-hmm. And I think people of all stripes have been talking about it more in recent years. Because
but
for
I
some
it
was
more.
But for some people it was, right? Like, should I just leave Illinois? Should I just leave Cook County? Then it was, should I leave Illinois and go to Indiana? And there is a cumulative effect on the taxpayer.
This conversation is being had. I used to say, oh, yeah, sure you're gonna. And now I know a ton of people who've done it. And I'm like, hey, wait a second. Hey, guys, come on back. And then all of a sudden you get stuff like this.
2 years ago, we went down to Nashville to report on people who had left Illinois. And I was so amazed. I remember going to kind of an upper middle class, you know, really nice new neighborhood about a half hour outside of Nashville.
Franklin.
Yeah. And you go down the street and there are Cubs flags hanging off half the houses.
Yeah.
You talk to people and, you know, they're eating beefs out on the front porch. You would think you were in Chicago, except the weather's nicer and the houses are newer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Right, and the taxes are non-existent.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben.
All right. We'll see you on the WGN News at 4.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Thanks,
Ben. There he is. All right. Let's check in with the WGN Radio News in 2 minutes. Yeah, it's a Ro Khan show with Anna DeLaurentis.
Yeah. Can you calm down a little bit? Heard some good news, Ro.
Okay. Fine.
It's all good.
Totally fine. All right. We were just talking about Mayor Lightfoot. She's on vacation this week, and that's got a lot of coppers upset. And I kind of understand that she canceled all their vacations, but it is what it is. Next week, she's got a big speech that she's got to make that's going to scare the crap out of people.
And I bet she's preparing for it this week. I'm imagining it's a working vacation. She said she's checking in. I mean, I guess she's allowed to take a vacation.
Your bosses ever tell you can't take a vacation?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's the boss, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And so when the boss tells you can't take a vacation, then they go on a vacation? Is that good? No.
She takes one vacation all summer. I don't know. I guess I don't see it.
So did the police. But that's all right. Okay. All right.
I understand she took over and then things were already set, so that made it difficult. I think when she says she's putting in a new plan for policing, and sometimes you have to say, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. I get
it. Okay.
I get it. Maybe
we're going to agree to disagree on this one. If I were me as a politician, you have a 4-year job. That's it. You have to look at it as a 4-year job. And she will have a 4-year job, I think, because this is going to be hard. You know, once she, these sorts of decisions she's making are going to be political fodder for people.
Well, it's not easy to be the reformer.
Right.
That's the one who comes in and has to try to...
It's a one-term deal.
Right.
And maybe that's all she wants to do. So we'll see. But when you do that, you can't just jump in, tell the guy, especially when you've got the police department. I mean, the police, the firefighters, teachers, those are your three major constituencies that will at some point cause you the most amount of trouble, right? You need to keep a working relationship with those three organizations as well as you possibly can. Because if those three things aren't working, you're going to have a problem. So that's just one of those decisions that she made for her family. I get it. It's a tough one. But, you know. Her wife and kid could go. She could jump back and forth. Doesn't have to take the whole time off. Or don't acknowledge that she's gone.
Take
pictures of herself. Where she inserts Chicago skyline shots in whatever she's doing.
Look, she can work from there, too. I mean, police have to be on the streets, so it's slightly different. But all right, I get it.
All right, okay. A.D. Quigg is joining us from Crane Chicago Business. And here's where the vacation part might be really necessary for Mayor Lightfoot, because she is going to next week make a speech about the $1 billion shortfall in the budget. And how are they going to clog that hole? How are they going to fill that hole? And that hole will be filled, according to reporting today, by a big ticket home sale transfer tax So anything over $1 million that moves in the city of Chicago, there will be an additional, I guess, tax stamps or whatever it is that you have to purchase to make that transaction happen. And then there's also, they're talking about a high, anything else? I thought that I read something else, but it doesn't say anything else here.
Yes, there's more.
Yeah, what else is there?
Of course, there's always more. I mean, when we got to fill a giant hole like that, anywhere between 750 and a billion, but, you know, give or take 250 million, who cares?
And the professional services tax, right?
Right, this is professional services. So something Lightfoot has talked about a lot from the beginning is not balancing the city's budget on the backs of those who can afford at least, which is why we've seen her announce all these reforms to car ticketing and booting practices, why she's not going straight for a property tax hike or a water rate hike or anything like that. So she floated this tax hike, kind of like a sales tax on certain services, limiting it to only high-end professional service providers like attorneys and accountants. So other proposals in the past have said, you know, we should extend the sales tax to salons, gym memberships, pet grooming, stuff like that. But she said, no, let's limit it to those who can afford it, people who spend money on lawyers and accountants. The governor's office gave it kind of a lukewarm response. I don't think he wants to commit to anything 2 months ahead of the veto session.
He's too busy working on the carpeting. He's got swatches in his office right now deciding what they're going to do over there.
Actually, the redo does look nice. You can't believe that those are the offices if you saw them before.
I know. Let's not lose direction here. I'm already close to crazy as it is right now. All right. So this has been floated before. This idea of the professional services tax. And it's funny because lawyers and accountants are the ones that always get hit. And they're the first ones to cause trouble. And they're the most politically connected, one could imagine, professions in Chicago. Because, you know, most of the people in government are, you know, as we know now, lawyers who are also doing work on the side while they're in city council. But is that a heavy lift to get that? They need the legislature to say that's okay, right?
Right. I mean, anything's going to be... Asking for money at any time, asking for a tax hike at any time, especially when so many other tax proposals are floating out there, is going to be tough. And there's still a lot to do in Springfield. I mean, last time we spoke, we were talking about how difficult it's going to be to count on marijuana revenue, all the regulatory stuff that needs to happen for casinos to work. So she's going to have to be very careful and targeted with how she approaches Springfield. And I think her being able to limit it to just Chicago and say, hey, this isn't a statewide tax hike of any kind might be an easier ask, but she's going to have to be really strategic when she gets down there, because you can only get so much done. You can only expend so much political capital down there.
And she'll have to be really strategic, too, when she speaks to voters of the city and she does her primetime address next Thursday, because she has to also make the case to everyone to say, hey, these make sense and this is why, and how close do these two taxes that we've talked about get you to that ultimate goal, because it's a big shortfall.
It's a big shortfall, and I think what she's going to have to try to do next week is say, here's what we're doing on our side to start cutting. She's come out with a couple of press releases in the past few days saying, we've identified $6 million in savings here, $2 million in savings here, $22 million in savings here. I think we'll see more of that come out to kind of prove to the city that we're keeping up our end of the bargain as much as we possibly can while still maintaining services that you all City of Chicago people depend on. But she's going to do this primetime address. She's also going to do a series of budget town halls across the city, which is something that Mayor Daley used to do that will all be streamed. She's put out a survey asking people what taxes they would be okay with raising, what city departments should have their budgets cut. I think she's trying to do this big kind of community-led budget that gets the word out that, yes, this is a serious issue, and yes, we need to fill it, and I would like your help doing this. I'm not going to do this by fiat.
Yeah, well, correct. But because she's new at this, and she does have political capital. I mean, she did win, 75-25, essentially. I'm going to round that, right? So she does believe she has a mandate. So she gets to walk in, she gets to say, hey, I want to do this. I want to get all the stakeholders involved in it. But when you've got these two items that are going to be the professional services tax, which is going to affect, like you said, higher end. At one point, they were talking about broadcasting and print media advertising sales and stuff like that, or advertising agencies also getting hit. Is that in there? Do we know? We don't really know for sure what the details are.
We don't know for sure the details. Yeah. I don't know if we'll know even next week.
You think I lose my mind? Wait till you find out what happens back in the sales office when they find out that there's going to be a tax.
Especially with 2020 coming up. Imagine all these TV stations who are getting ready for presidential and local political ads to come out, it's a big moneymaker for them. That'd be a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It is a big deal.
Yeah. But the thing is that what they're going to be doing is they're going to be hitting people, these professional services folks, with a tax. It's going to affect either themselves individually or their businesses, depending on how they operate. They structure their own business. And these are people, if they live in the city, they're living in million-dollar-plus homes. So they're going to get hit twice.
But only if you transfer. It's a transfer
only
tax.
If you sell.
So yeah, only if you sell. It isn't like they're raising your property taxes. She made it very clear that she knows she can't go back to property owners and say, we're going to dig deeper into your pockets for property tax raise.
But there's a lot of people who are selling because the property taxes are going up.
I guess so. It's a one-time transaction. When you sell your house or when you buy your house, then you'll get hit with this. Other than that, it's not like a year-to-year thing.
Right.
The way
I'm sure there will be some negotiation over whether it's a tax on the seller or a tax on the buyer.
Somehow it works into the price, though, right?
And
it will lower the price in some way, shape, or form.
That's true.
And those prices are already going down. There's an indication that in Gold Coast, Lincoln Park, those areas of Chicago, that the prices are already down 0.3% this year alone. And so the question is, will they go down? How much more significantly will they go down year to year? On January 1, 2020. There are a lot of concerns there. And you talk to real estate people, and then you talk to the commercial real estate people, and they're very worried about what's happening downtown, like Michigan Avenue. Mm-hmm. You know, you're seeing all these businesses dump out of Michigan Avenue and, you know, Oak Street and places like that. And where do they go? And how do you replace those with you know, the same dollars or similar dollars that you already have going? I mean, it's very nice. I love the idea that we're going to have a pot store where the Apple Store used to be on Michigan Avenue.
It's a little weird, but okay.
You know, next to a Gymboree. I don't know what goes next. I don't know. It's like, things are changing. I get all that. But this is the price of making these kinds of changes. Kind of scary.
This is the price of not paying pensions for several years. Like, it's money that we need.
Right.
We got to find it somehow.
Very true. The casino, any mention of that? Because I know the mayor still seems committed to having a Chicago casino, although that Illinois Gaming Board review of the costs and the fee structure that seemed to be so onerous, in their words, that no one would want to have one. I mean, the mayor still said she's going to push forward and figure out a new structure. We got to figure it out.
Yeah, this is another part of her calculations
speech
in Springfield, how much she can go down there and ask for, and how much the state might lose out depending on how the city changes its structure. I think we'll know more in the weeks to come, but that's another complicated one. I will say it's very fun covering both marijuana legalization and casinos at the same time, because we get to use way more puns than usual.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
That's true.
These are strange times in Springfield.
Oh, yeah.
And a little wacky.
And the marijuana taxes, that's got its own thing. Okay,
right.
So I was just, you know, in full disclosure, also having a conversation with this guy who's moved down to Florida, which I didn't anticipate was going to do that. I mentioned this earlier, AD, before you were on. But there's a little bit of an exodus of, you know, high ticket folks here trying to get away from the tax structure. But the stoner's doing the same thing. A lot of stoners going, if I have to pay a tax, why would I leave my drug dealer? You know, I mean, there's that going on, right? I mean, so you have to somehow woo the stoner away from his dealer. And that is, and you got to do that, and you got to keep the prices competitive. Let's just be honest here. That's where it's going to go.
Sure.
AD, I want a Crane's story about that right on the front page. I love the idea of that.
People leaving their drug dealers, refusing to leave until the state improves the tax structure.
Well, it is part of the calculation, right? And how much money we're going to be bringing in marijuana revenue? How many people will leave the illicit sector and go to the fancy place on the Magnificent Mile? Mm-hmm. Do you get higher quality? Do you have a better idea of where it's coming from? Do you pay more for the service and the fanciness and the different versions you can get? You can get edibles. You can get oils.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. It's going to be fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Thank you very much, Eddie Quigg from Crane Chicago Business. Appreciate it.
Thanks, AD. Thank you.
Those are our news gathering partners right there at Crane Chicago Business. Mm-hmm. Let's check in now with Jen DeSalvo. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Will Russia be back in the G8? The President's Take coming up.
Con Show with Anna DeVontis right here on 720 WGN. We have got the WGN news coming your way in 2 little minutes. I got tickets to the Blackhawks taking on the Oilers on Monday, October 14th in my back pocket, and I'm going to give those away this hour. Just reminding you, the game day tickets went on sale today. Go to Blackhawks.com to purchase yours, or for more information, whatever it is, there's a ton of really cool stuff going on. There's 20 game day giveaways, 5 2010 anniversary celebration nights, 3 alternate jersey nights, a retro hat night.
Ah, I love that.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Big deal!
Kind of a big deal.
All right, so now, we mentioned this in the promo about the promotional announcement that runs and says what's going to be coming on in the show today, and we're actually going to pay off on one of those.
We will.
How rare is that an occurrence?
Yay for us.
The scooter, there's been a study now done on the effectiveness of the scooter experiment here. And remember, we had the person on from the city who was in charge of the scooter experiment.
That's right. You let her know you did not really like the idea or approve of it at that time.
Right.
And she was very patient with us, as I recall.
Yes. Right. Well, it's rare that people are patient with me, but okay, fine. And Mary Wazinski is with us, and she joins us from the Chicago Tribune offices. And this, the study is in on how this worked. A lot of it looks at usage patterns, right? And when people are using them and how, not necessarily how they're using them or how abusive they are to them, like throwing them into the trees, as some drunks were doing. But whether this actually fits the profile of what the people who said that this was a positive economic development for Chicago were hoping for.
Right. And what they found is that most of the people using them are using them during rush hour, which would suggest that they're using them for commuting. And the people that I talked to were using them to get to their jobs when they were using it. I was surprised. I was seeing a lot of scooters on the street and just looked like people were taking joyrides on them.
Yeah,
people are actually using them to get to work, and which is what the city had been hoping for, that it would be part of the commute, part of the kind of the last mile or first mile if you're a little bit far away from transit and you want to get to transit, and you can get on one of these scooters instead of maybe taking a car to transit or walking to transit.
People don't know what they're doing on them. Mary, I'm sorry. People still don't know what they're doing. I saw over the weekend, like for the air show, everybody was trying to get down to the air show. And some of the scooters, now these must have been private scooters because you cannot get past the barrier.
You can't have them east of Halsted, right?
Okay. Let me just address this issue.
Okay.
Amateurs on scooters.
Uh-huh.
The amateur on the scooter is a dangerous goof. And we got a lot of dangerous goofs in this town. We were kind of known for it. And this is like, zooming in and out and then trying to go through. Like, a scooter thinks it's a pedestrian.
Even though they go up to 15 miles an hour.
Right.
Right.
And they were like scooting with the crowds that were walking toward the, where there's police barriers and stuff on LaSalle Street or whatever that is, that heads toward the beach there, that where everybody was going, and the police cut all that off, and people going by on scooters. And I'm like, wait a second, that is motorized transportation.
That would be a little freaky to see that. But there's goofs in every form of transportation, and the goofs on the cars are the ones that cause the most damage.
Mary, if your study shows, that the most usage was during rush hours, it also says that that's the time when the roads are the busiest. So does the study also take a look at collisions and issues with safety?
This study didn't. This was this DePaul study just looked at the day in the life of the scooter. Where are they, and where are they being taken, and where are the biggest destination points and origin points? I have heard from other studies. There was a study done in Austin, Texas, about the amount of collisions with scooters, and they found a lot of head injuries. Mostly, a lot of the people who were injured were people who were using scooters for the first time. And because your center of gravity on a scooter is kind of high as opposed to what it is on a bicycle, you're more likely to fall on your head, which is why they want people to, the city's been, and the scooter companies have been encouraging people to wear helmets.
And at a higher rate
of
speed.
Which I don't see a lot of.
Yeah.
No, you don't see it at all. Yeah. I really don't. I mean, I'm in the West Loop where there's a high concentration of these. They're very highly used to get around, and I'm sure to go to and from work. I rarely see a person, unless it's their personal e-scooter, if it's one of the rentals, wearing a helmet, because people just don't carry a helmet around with them.
Right. What are you going to do?
They don't.
If you're a hipster. If you're a hipster and you're going to some hot spot in the Fulton Market district.
Right.
And you're leaving your, you know, your Logan Square location to head to your Fulton Market location. Exactly what helmet is going to go with your silk shirt? Which one? How are you going to do that?
And you got a lot of gel in the hair. You know, you're going to mess it up.
Right. You don't want to mess your hair up. And you just got this, and silk's coming back. And you're like, I don't think you look good in that shirt, but the guy thinks he does.
That's what goes.
You have seen a change, though, with Divvy bikes. You used to almost never see people with helmets on Divvy bikes. And now you do, because people have incorporated them into their routine. And so they bring a helmet with them.
Can I ask a question, Mary? I don't understand about the Divvy bikes and with the e-scooters, and I think it would solve a problem, because we've had people call into this very radio program and say they're a pedestrian, they were in the crosswalk, they were hit by a Divvy bike, they were hit by an e-scooter, cars have been, like, had their mirrors taken off by them, but there's no way to identify who's on that scooter. Wouldn't it make sense to have some sort of mini license plate, something identifiable, so that you know how to follow up if there is an issue?
Well, that's a question that comes up a lot. One of the arguments that's made against it is that it would discourage people from using the bikes or discourage people from using the scooters. The same argument is made about not requiring helmets, is that if you required helmets, it would discourage people from using them, and then less people would use them, and you wouldn't get the benefit of to the environment and to lessening traffic.
Wait, I don't understand why it would discourage someone from using it. It's only if you're riding them irresponsibly that would actually be an issue, if you're following the rules.
Right. No, I understand. But if you have to pay for the license, the other problem is that I've done my own studies for the Tribune before about bicycle ticketing, and bicycle ticketing tends to be focused mainly in the city on low-income neighborhoods. Most of the tickets are going, even though most of the bicycling is happening in high-income neighborhoods, most of the ticketing is happening in low-income neighborhoods. So there's some concern that there would be equity problems.
Well, what about the rental companies themselves? Couldn't you put the $10 licensing fee on them? I mean,
That's a good question for the city, because, this is just a pilot program. The city is just trying to figure out how this is working, because there's been a lot of bumps in the road, so to speak, in other cities where they've tried this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have tried the scooters, and I'm not, it's not my cup of tea, because I'm a bicyclist, and I don't like, I feel a little off balance, and I didn't like going over bumpy roads, because you feel like you're operating a jackhammer. Because there's these little wheels.
That's true. I don't like that feeling either.
But I can really see how they'd be appealing to people who don't want to get sweaty, because you don't have to do anything. You just stand on them.
Right. And they do.
Oh, I'd be sweating. I'd be on it sweating the whole time. Like, oh my God, 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 get out of the way!
And when I wasn't on a bumpy road, it was kind of fun. And people were waving and giving a thumbs up, like, I felt like I was, riding my Velocipede down a plank road in 1910. People couldn't, it's a novelty. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But people have to be really safe.
Right.
All right. Did you hear that, hipsters?
Right. Watch your heads. Yes. You won't be able to, put the hair gel on.
All right. Mary Wisniewski from the Chicago Tribune. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
All right. I'm not for it. Not even remotely for it.
Even though she said it does seem as if people are using them to and from work, because that's one of the things you doubted earlier when they launched this program. People are just going to use them when they're drunk and they want to get home quickly, which I'm sure happens. But this seems like the study, at least, shows that people are using them to be able to get to the L, to be able to get to work early in the morning and back home.
Not for it.
No.
Nope. It's a no-go zone for me. Not interested. I think that I see hipsters laughing their way through it because it's like fun. I don't see hardworking Chicagoans using these things. But then again, I'm never around for hardworking Chicagoans because I don't get out of bed till everybody's already in their place.
That's
so
true.
It's a separate issue.
You don't see the morning rush.
I don't see the morning rush ever. I mean, if I do, something really bad has happened. I'm being rushed somewhere if I see the morning rush.
You don't see the evening rush either.
No, because we get home after the evening rush.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get to see the...
you miss all the scooters. Yeah. So that's probably a good thing for everybody. I can't imagine. Are you at that stage yet where you start yelling at, like, hey, you! Like, you say things out the window to people you don't... Or aren't driving appropriately.
There's an age at which that, where the filter comes off. And you're like, oh, no, please. You know, like when you're a kid, you're like, oh, Dad, don't say that. Dad, don't roll down the window. Don't. No, don't.
Where's your helmet?
Right. And now it's now I'm that. Get off my lawn!
Nice silk shirt. I can see you saying that. Totally see you saying that.
I don't know if it was silk or rayon or whatever, but I don't know why. I don't know why. Is that coming back for the man? I saw it. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Not attractive on everybody. Just,
no.
It's a look, but,
no.
You know.
You're doing that, and you're on your way, you know.
You forgot to change out of your pajamas.
That's right, exactly. That's what I would say. I should have used that line. I was at an event over the weekend, and there was a guy walks in, he's wearing a silk shirt,
uh-huh.
And he's got, like, the, you know, $5,000 sunglasses on.
Oh, gee.
And the whole thing, dude, how you doing, dude? You know, like that whole, you know, wanted to bro hug me, and I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Was like, he sweaty in the silk shirt? Does silk breathe?
Sort of, I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe 21st century silk. I don't know. Maybe this is from worms that you know have good breathability. I don't know. But there.
I would think he'd look sweaty in the silk shirt because it would really show the stain.
Yeah, but no, but he was like, and, you know, like, and he's one of those where it was buttoned all the way down to like his navel, essentially, right? Unbuttoned all the way down to his navel.
Oh.
And like, you know, so like, you know, shaved chest kind of a thing. Dude, righteous. I'm like, I have not heard the word righteous nor seen a silk shirt in years.
Feeling like you didn't dress correctly for the party?
I don't know. I just felt weird. I just felt like I'm that, and that's sort of what I imagine the scooter, you know, we're wearing like the silk shirt and then the linen pants and the whole, you know, the whole kind of thing. Open-toed shoes.
And the perfect hair.
Right. And $5,000 sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, righteous. Cool planes, right?
What party did you go to?
I got lost. All right, let's do this. Let's check in now with Jen and find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
How the White House says it can avert a recession. How an urban farm is cultivating a bumper crop of jobs, veggies, and good health in Chicago. It's tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
And so I noticed in Jen DeSalvo in for Kim Gordon with the news, she played some audio of a Chicago firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming a captain of some sort. And that's how you have to say it in Chicago, captain.
Mm-hmm.
And describing this window washer incident that happened earlier today. Totally good. Worked out.
He's okay, right?
Window washer's fine. But, you know, the thing, the gondola, whatever they call that thing, got a little sideways. And then there was a trouble. And here's how the fire official described it.
All right, so they got up to the roof, and from there, basically their training took into action there. He was a little nervous, but these guys immediately went to work, got the line over the side of the building, was able to get that to him where he secured it to himself. They were able to hook up another line, set that over to the building, because you always want to have two lines on the gentleman or anybody that we're trying to rescue just in case, and then they started hauling him up.
Yep.
Oh, thank you to the fire department.
That's the guy that was trying to catch the coyote. You know, they're looking, you know, have you seen the story where the guy, like the video, they're trying to find the guy who with the Chicago accent was trying to catch the coyote, uh-huh. Coyote puppy a couple days ago?
He was like Jack Hanna Chicago style.
Right. And people are like, well, we got to find that guy. Where do we find that guy? Nobody can find the guy. I think this guy, remember him?
What are you doing? You cute little coyote pup. Come here, buddy. Hey, man. I'm not trying to f*** you. Hey, you got to get over here. Shh, you're okay. I'm not gonna f*** with you. Don't worry about it. No, you're not that tough. Come here, hey.
It was so
nice that he intervened to help the sick little pup.
Okay,
that was great.
The coyote, you wouldn't feel so good if the coyote ate your dog, but whatever. Okay, so this is, I think we got the same guy. I'm not 100% sure. 100% sure, but I think so. I think that's what we got.
Yeah, well, thank God for the fire department and what they did there. Can you imagine dangling from, the 53rd floor?
What those guys do, those men and women, and in Chicago, guys is for both men and women, so don't worry about it. Use guys.
Yeah.
What they do every day on almost every call is just beyond imaginable.
They never know what they're going to...
Yeah, they never know what you're walking into. If it's a sick person in a restaurant or whatever, and they're going in, they're handling that. But it's a But, you know, all of a sudden they get a call. They got to get a guy off the 54th floor because he's dangling from, you know, from what was what's remaining of his window washing equipment. I mean, that's crazy stuff. So congratulations.
Yes. Thank you to the fire department.
To use guys over at the fire department.
The roof. I like that part.
I love that.
They play that in other cities, like, you know, because you know how they pick up on stories like this on local news everywhere. This guy was dangling from the 53rd floor, but it all turned out okay. They're going to have the fire. Hey, he's up on the roof.
We got on the roof, and then we got to go over by Roosevelt to get more rope. Because we lost our rope. It's great. I love the Chicago accent.
Me too.
It's the one thing that you know, even if I'm out of town for like a day, I miss the idea of the Chicago. I know. I only feel good when I hear somebody say "use guys" again. It's the only time I know
you're
I'm
in
at
good
home.
Hands.
I know I'm at home. All right. Speaking of a bad idea, I have a list of really bad ideas that are in the news coming up after 4:40. There are three ideas that are being floated right now for different things that are the worst ideas I've ever heard. And we
general ideas or
yeah,
in relation
well, one's,
to solving
one's,
problems?
One is a transportation idea.
Okay. Not the e-scooter, because you've already weighed
no.
in on that.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a bad idea. There's that. There is a... I'll share them with you. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But this may be the worst idea since just 737 max half off on the tickets. Oh, that would be a worse idea than this maybe. Plus, I got Blackhawks tickets to give away too.
Nice.
All that's coming your way.
Very
but
cool.
First, we've got Jen DeSalvo's news in two. Crack that whip. I got Hawks tickets coming up for you in a few minutes. They're taking on the Edmonton Oilers on Monday, October 14th.
Hmm.
And we're talking about this already, right?
Yeah.
And the summer's not quite over.
No.
The sun's coming out now, thanks be to the Ja. But I believe that there's more rain coming in tonight, right? Isn't that correct? What'd you just say? Not that I wasn't listening.
A lingering shower is possible in spots tonight, but it's going to be partly cloudy.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
We'll see thunderstorms tomorrow again, though.
Oh, for God's sake. What's going on with you people? It's gonna turn like this eventually. Like, you know, when we get that gray, like when the fall starts and everything gets gray. And,
yeah.
You know, we're not even in Labor Day yet, my friends.
I mean, I would really like my grass to become green again, though, before the fall comes. So, okay. I'm okay with a little rain.
All right. Okay, fine. Whatever. You are. I'm not. All right. So, we got the Hawks tickets just a few minutes away. For you. And don't forget that single season tickets have gone on sale today.
Nice.
10 a.m. So, and there's all kinds of cool games along the way with cool giveaways. They've got three different nights where you're going to get a jersey when you walk in.
Wow.
The alternate jersey nights.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So look for that on the schedule. I think it's on the website right there.
They have it all laid out for you. The bobblehead nights and all the other stuff.
Yep.
I really like the salt and pepper shaker one.
That's a cool one.
The gravy boat is my favorite by far. We talked about this yesterday when we had Connor Murphy on. That it's a name drop, no big deal. The gravy boat, I think it was the week before Thanksgiving, and they gave that thing away.
Mm-hmm.
It was like
perfect.
It looks like the Zamboni, except it's got a handle.
It was so cute. And I used it on my Thanksgiving dinner table, too. Everyone thought it was awesome. Where'd you get that? Well, hey. Gotta know somebody.
You got over by the Hawks. That's how you answer that question in proper Chicago.
That's right. Well, there's a winter scarf giveaway. There's a snow globe giveaway.
I love that one, too. Can never get enough snow globes.
Mm-hmm. Duncan Keith bobblehead, I think without the teeth. That's unconfirmed, but I'm not...
I thought they had a removable teeth.
Had some kind of a dental-related giveaway also.
It's the floss holder.
Floss holder. That's it. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know why
perfect.
You need to hold your floss.
I don't either, but I'd use it. If it was a Hawks related.
I could use a toothbrush holder, but floss.
They've done that already, the toothbrush holder. That was a good one. They made it out of. They made it look like a hockey goalie mask.
I'm just wondering, do you like take the string one and then you unravel it from where it comes from and then put it in the holder? I don't get it.
Well, here's the thing: is Duncan Keith does not actually need tooth floss. Because you can get around all the teeth, you know, and get each tooth, you can get around completely, you know, with a brush or a Hoover vac or something. It's capable.
Last year I really liked, and I still use this all the time. It's a hockey puck, but it's a bottle opener.
I have that too. We have that. We have that right, in our kitchen. Yeah.
We got it back in the Knorr wagon too.
So great.
When we're back there and we need to open up a bottle, we just toss the puck at each other. Watch your mouth. All right. I got a list of the worst ideas ever.
Uh oh. In the history of time?
Yeah, this is pretty good.
Is The Bachelor on there?
Someday we're going to get to the bottom of why she's so mad about that show, but I don't. But I don't.
I'm not alone. She's not.
Yeah. No, this is it. It's a big story today about a company that wants to bring the Zeppelin back. Not lead. The Zeppelin, like the Hindenburg. They want to bring back the big flying.
It's like a dirigible.
Dirigible. Yeah, big ship in the sky. Now, the idea here is that the Hindenburg, which did not, by the way, it didn't end well.
Had a good run.
No. No, okay. Really didn't.
Never mind. It didn't. Horrible run.
When it went down, I mean, it was, you know, it was, they said that that ruined the Zeppelin industry.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
when that thing exploded and crashed in New Jersey, they're like, yeah, this is probably going to end this whole thing. You know, one plane crash doesn't end the aviation industry, right? No. But this particularly was a bad idea to begin with, the Zeppelin, and they already had ships. And yeah, every once in a while you hit an iceberg. Sure, I get it.
Titanic had a good run.
Yeah. No, it didn't. It didn't even make the first run.
No. Kev's having trouble
there
today.
Again, Kev. Bad example.
Started, right? It was a maiden voyage. We're going to be fine. This thing's unsinkable. That was bad. That was not good. Leonardo DiCaprio couldn't get on the door. There was no room. I don't know. This, again, terrible idea. Now, what they want to do, the proposed idea here, is to build a blimp that is 10 times bigger than the Hindenburg.
Hmm. For what reason?
To carry passengers like a cruise ship across, and this is going to be environmentally more sustainable. That's what they say.
How so? How's it going to run?
It's going to run an environmentally sustainable way.
Like hydrogen?
Well, it's going to be the actual buoyancy comes from hydrogen. Okay. Which, of course, is exactly what the Hindenburg was using, too, when that didn't go well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, one might recall, in sort of your mind's ear, what that sounded like.
Not quite to the mooring mass. All the humanity and all the passengers speeding around here. I told you.
That didn't go well.
Rough.
Yeah. It's Herb Morrison from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that there's a story about that, just very quickly, before I get back to how bad an idea this is, that he paid his own way to go cover that.
Oh, damn.
No interest. The station
had no interest in covering
LS,
the event.
Of course, they didn't. They had no interest in covering the event.
Mm. So he said, "Hey, it's important. Let me get out there, and I'm going
to
do it."
Yeah, and he was like, "I think this is important because there was a geopolitical thing going on. Because remember, the Hindenburg had a gigantic swastika on the back of it." Right, I mean, it was the Nazi invention. It was this is the way, and we weren't at war with them yet, and we were ignoring what they were doing in the rest of the world. So, and the stuff that they were saying, I mean, it was sort of not at the similar time when people were acting and saying crazy things, and we were like, oh, that's fine, sure, maybe we should just open our minds to some ideas, right? That's how stupid that was, and then the thing blows up. Anyway, separate issue. So this thing would be 10 times bigger than the 800-foot-long Hindenburg. So this theoretically, you know, would be 8,000 feet.
Gee.
I mean, that's
ginormous.
Yes. And the idea here is that it would be would be able to carry cargo. It would be able to carry passengers in a luxury kind of configuration if you wanted to do it. Now, there is one little problem here.
Okay.
There's one little problem is that it has to go with the jet stream.
So places you can fly. And
right. So this kind of creates, it creates its own sort of scheduling challenge. Because of its size. Now, the Hindenburg, because it didn't fly as high as this, this thing is going to fly higher.
Okay.
Than the Hindenburg did. Hindenburg was able to get into a place where it could go against the jet stream. Because remember, these are just gigantic balloons. You know what happens when you put a balloon. You know, when the kid, you just pay for the balloon and mm-hmm. then the balloon goes away because your kid lets go of it? Yeah. And it just goes with the wind, right?
Mm-hmm.
This thing would have to go with the upper, you know, jet stream winds, and it can only go to the east.
Can you imagine something like 22 football fields long blowing around like that, like right. a child's balloon?
Yes, exactly.
That's awful.
See, but I tell you, worst idea ever. So the idea here would be, and it would take 16 days to get around the globe, but it could actually carry 20,000 tons of cargo what? While expending very little energy. That's the idea.
That's why it's sustainable. And there's going to be carbon offsets for it, too. It's real nice.
Is there a lot of interest or need?
I don't think so.
In this kind of
thing? I mean, they say that it would be more efficient than cargo ships. And you could create this incredible experience for humans if you want to build one of these things that's like a luxury liner. Again, you just have to go to the east. It's gonna, if you want to go to L.A. on
forget
this thing,
about it.
You have to go through
all
London.
Oh, yeah,
London to Turkey to Tokyo back to back
take a long
London.
Way
yeah.
home.
Yes.
I'm sure I'd trust it on that kind of a flight.
Right. It would be 14 days to get to. I mean, you could walk to L.A. faster if you wanted to.
Take an e-scooter.
It's going to fly above the weather. Which is, then you have to also have the. It's, I don't know how this is really going to work.
Hey, it, the whole thing seems a little goofy.
And whose bright idea was this?
I don't know. So, some jerk.
They're too embarrassed to even say.
This is a postdoctoral fellow at the International Institute for Applied Systems Analysis in Laxenburg, Austria.
That sounds like too long of a name to be real.
They make that up.
I'm going to sound fancy. What words can I throw in? Postdoctorate.
Now, helium would offer a greater margin of safety, but it's very hard to come by. The Earth is almost out of helium.
Yeah, it's rare right now. Well, yeah. Kind of rare.
Helium had a good run.
Well, it did, because, I mean, think of all the birthday balloons right. that it filled up.
And all
think
the of funny all the, voices.
Think right. of all the poor kids who won't be able to have great birthday parties.
I know.
That's sad.
What will now happen to the Mylar industry? Because you know what happens when the helium goes on the Mylar balloon? The Mylar balloon just kind of sits there halfway up in the room. Like you walk in and it's sort of like at waist high, but it's not dead yet, but it's just there.
It creepily bounces around like it might be a ghost now.
Yeah. Right. And it just kind of sits there and you're like, oh, wow.
It like slowly turns its face to you and you're like, what do you want, balloon?
I can imagine her having that conversation with a balloon. Don't you?
It's a weird series in the balloon that makes me a little nervous.
That's why I'm laughing at the idea of that. All right, so the Winnipeg, Canada-based Buoyant Aircraft Systems International.
Again, sounds made up.
Says that most airship companies are reluctant to speak out about hydrogen because it scares off investors. Really? Really? Now, let me just think about that. If you're going to scare off investors... What could possibly be scary about hydrogen?
We're putting a bunch of people in their cars up in a big helium balloon that has to go with the jet stream only.
Right. And we can only go east. It's the only way we can go. So if we go to Chicago to New York, we'll get you there like in a day. Oh, it'll be very, very fancy. And there's very low likelihood that you're going to explode over New Jersey. I think we got that figured out. They said that they used to make the Hindenburg and those things were made out of like cow intestine.
Oh.
The actual thing itself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, like.
How do you get that smell out?
They did paint, I guess, is how they did it.
Ugh.
Right. And then besides, you know what? When this happens, the smell is not what you're worried about. Anyway.
No, at that point, you're like, is that me? Yeah, I think that's me.
So there's this thing is the, again, just going to say, worst idea ever.
It's up there for sure.
Although the environmental people, you know, the, your Al Gores are interested in this.
AOC is all about this for sure.
That's right. Well, it's sustainable. I gotta just say this. I do love this story about that. Also, speaking of that sustainability, of all the criticism of Meghan Markle and Prince, what's his face
on their private jets, Prince right. Harry.
It turns out it's not on their private jet; it's on Elton John's private jet, and Elton John paid for the carbon offsets.
How do you pay for the carbon offsets?
You buy carbon. You know, that's what Al Gore was trying to sell. That's right. What you do is when you are abusing the environment. Then you pay me $1,000, and I'll make you feel better about it. It's a carbon offset tax. He says he does that for his private jet. He's very, you know, it makes it carbon neutral.
It still doesn't undo your eco footprint. I mean, it doesn't mean, if you take private jets everywhere, it's like it doesn't change.
No, it doesn't undo anything. It just pays for a guy to go, I am now sucking in all the bad stuff out of the environment for you that you put up there because you paid me $1,000. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. What yep. Jen just said.
Larry King files for divorce from his seventh wife, Sean King.
They had a good run.
22 years?
Yeah, they did have a long run.
But when you're married and divorced, seven times? Mm-hmm. It's on him now, right? Not her.
No one ever wonders, what was wrong with the previous six?
Seven time.
Mm-hmm.
Eighth marriage, seventh.
Well, they made it through. This is like 10 years ago that they had the affair scandal,
mm-hmm.
where she thought he was, maybe longer than, maybe 15 years ago.
Right.
Where she thought he was on the air because they were, but he pre-taped the show.
Oh, no.
And he came home to find her with the baseball coach.
With, the son's baseball coach.
Yeah. The son got a contract with the White Sox, right?
How about that? Right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
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 I mean, that was, yeah. I mean, it was lovely of them to do that for him,
right.
But you know,
it's a gesture.
He's not exactly Eloy Jimenez.
I mean, after like three or four, don't you just kind of throw in the towel and say, "I'm not good at this whole marriage thing"?
Yes,
I mean,
yes. After two, I think I have. There's. I mean, what good comes of it? Really, let's be honest. Some people are just not cut out for it, and Larry'd be one of them.
Married to one woman twice, so I don't know if that counts for two or for one. I don't know. That one seems a little weird, but that's how it went.
One and a half.
When it didn't work out the first time for Larry, and they thought, you know, it'd be a good idea. Let's get married again. Ex-wife, hello. It was not a good plan. Didn't work out for him. How old is he now?
He is in his 80s. Let's see. 85. 85 for Larry King.
He's still going to find someone, though. That's the damnedest thing.
He's going to be trolling around.
At 85, because he dresses like a 10-year-old, right? I mean, he's fun-sized, and he wears like the skinny jeans and the whole thing.
Right, like red leather jacket. There's a picture of him in this particular article with kind of a Mickey Mouse tie.
He's still going to find, and he's probably going to find somebody age inappropriate for him, too. It's going to be perfect.
He had a good run.
Although now that he's on Russian television or whatever the hell he is, he's trying to sell me fish oil or something now, isn't he? Every time I turn on the TV, he's in some infomercial.
He's doing the endorsements.
Where it makes it look like he's on TV, but he's really not. He's just selling you something with his suspenders and his oversized shoulder blades.
Which is interesting because it's like, oh, what has it done for you? I don't know if I want it.
It's weird. It's a very weird deal. He's a very strange ranger, man.
I talked to him at the Dodger Stadium. There.
What'd you think?
Very interesting conversation. I kind of lost him halfway through. I go, I don't even know what he's saying right now. I'm like, so what do you think of the Dodgers' chances? And then next thing you know, he's like rambling about some player I'd never heard of. Okay, Larry, I'm going to go get a Dodger dog. Good talk. Any of that leather jacket on is 95 degrees.
I get cold. Well, old people get cold easily. Let's just put it that way. All right. Well, I don't know. Good luck to her. I mean, why would she divorce him now? He must be out of dough. That must be
no,
where
I think he was in the hospital and the kids got mad because she was trying to put some of his properties in her name and there was a little bit of a thing going on there. So the kids sort of got to him and said, according to this article.
She's been accused of infidelity. We knew that. When he came home and it took him 8 hours to get up the stairs to find her in bed with the baseball coach. I thought you were working. Anyway.
Going their separate ways.
Sean, goodbye.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
Here's Vice President Mike Pence. He is chairing the sixth meeting of the National Space Council in Chantilly, Virginia today. And he says that, yes, the president is intent upon expanding space exploration.
We have redoubled our commitment to lead on behalf of human exploration with NASA at the tip of the spear, to engage our private sector partners to work in new and in renewed ways with the American people to advance American leadership.
Redoubled.
Mm-hmm. We've redoubled.
So, like, quadrupled overall? I don't quite get that phrase.
Redoubled, yeah. Yes, we don't hear that.
We redoubled our focus, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's either quadrupled or it's 16-tupled. Either way, I don't know what you do there.
How about just revamped, Pence?
Easy. That's the vice president, and it is his greatest honor and privilege to serve this president. And don't you ever forget it, because he says it at every single event, speech, or anything he's ever been to since 2016.
I don't know. His eyes say something different.
Do you think he says it at when he goes back to the Naval Observatory to have dinner with his wife, mother, or whatever her name is? Isn't she mother?
No.
Or was that
Karen?
Doesn't he call her mother? Isn't he the one? He doesn't want to be in a room with another woman unless there's other people there.
He does have that rule, yes. Yeah. He has somebody there to witness.
Yeah, so when he's
goings on.
So when he goes back to have dinner with his wife, do you think he starts dinner? Honey, we should pray. This is my greatest honor and privilege to be the Vice President of the United States. I don't think there's much of a. I don't think that Trump is going to let anybody off the hook here. I am with Scaramucci on this. He's going to take everyone down before he's done. If things don't go well, they're all going to end up, you know, everybody's a jag after he's done with them, right? Everybody's like, they're worse. They're the, you know. So, we'll see. Although something about Pence, though, seems like he's like a schmoo doll. I get the sense that if he sits there like wallpaper, he'll be fine. I think he sits there, he doesn't move, and he's hoping that it's like Jurassic Park, that if he doesn't move, then Trump won't see him.
He's reaffirming today, the president is, that Pence will be his running mate.
It was not a full confirmation, by the way.
Today.
It was not. He was saying, I think we're still doing that. Was essentially.
I've been huddling with Nikki Haley. She's not in. I've been huddling with others. They're not in.
Yeah.
So this is where he is.
All right, checking in at
number four.
So, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman, held a news conference today on their travel restrictions to Israel. And they featured Palestinian Americans who found themselves in the same situation. So Tlaib talked about visiting her Palestinian family as she held back these tears.
As a young girl visiting Palestine to see my grandparents and extended family, I watched as my mother had to go through dehumanizing checkpoints. Even though she was a United States citizen and proud American, I was there when my city was in a terrible car accident and my cousins and I cried so she could have access to the best hospitals, which were in Jerusalem.
Now, the president, on the other hand, Wasn't buying it, according to him.
I noticed for the first time, Tlaib with the tears. All of a sudden, she starts with tears. And I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a second, because I've seen her in a very vicious mood at campaign rallies, my campaign rallies, before she was a congresswoman. I said, who is that? And I saw a woman that was violent and vicious and out of control. And all of a sudden, I see this person who's crying because she can't see her grandmother. She can see her grandmother. They gave her permission to see her grandmother, but she grandstanded and she didn't want to do it.
I just don't feel good about where we are right now.
No, neither.
The whole thing is bad. I will say this. She should have gone to see her grandmother. Once they, you know, okayed her to go in, if she wanted to go in and go to the, she wanted to go to a different, to a protest. If she could have done both, but you got to say, you know, because she did actually apply for that. This whole thing is just, it is just a mess. And the fact that, Jared Kushner is the guy in charge of solving this problem. All right, I'll get to your three, your two, and your one. Something else I can say. Jen, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
A New York City councilman is leading protest against e-cigarettes. How an urban farm is cultivating a bumper crop of jobs, veggies, and good health here in Chicago. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right, top five at five continues on.
Number three.
Presidential candidate Marianne Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
Remember her?
Yep.
Unveiled.
She was the most Googled person after the last debate up there on stage.
Because she's a whack job.
She had a lot to say.
Do you? She is the only person that does not have a college education.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. Broke down Ivy League, private college, yeah. Public college, and then there was an extra category of no college, just her.
Interesting. That seems like that would be not in a very, 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 very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Would there have been that situation? And you know, and it's interesting to me too, because isn't she like pretending to be like a therapist of some sort?
Spiritual author. She's written a lot of books and been very successful financially, for sure, in terms of who she's coming to counsel, celebrities. Mm-hmm. And
you can't even get a job at Hollister without a bachelor's degree. She wants to be president?
Long live Hollister.
Just pointing out.
All right. So is it really at a clothing store?
Yeah.
Is that true?
As a manager.
All right. Anyway, this is not why I called. Marianne Williamson unveiled details of her plan to create a peace-building agency to focus on ending violence following what she calls decades of U.S. military conflict and an uptick in mass shootings. She sat down with the Des Moines Register. She is calling for, and I am not making this up,
mm-hmm.
a Department of Peace.
I have great respect for the military. My father fought in World War II. I see the military much like one would look at a surgeon. Obviously, the United States needs to have the best surgeon in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone knows you only have surgery if you absolutely must. The Department of Peace is not about creating something new so much as it is about coordinating many efforts that already are being made. Coordinating efforts, taking a holistic view of things
mm-hmm.
that are already going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, maybe we could get a job with the Department of Peace, bro.
There was totally a Ministry of Peace in the book 1984.
That's true.
Dude.
Yeah, remember what the book 1984 was about?
Oh, remember yeah. what the Ministry of Peace was about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay, fine. What a whack job. Is she in this debate, the 10 debate that's coming up?
I don't think she's been one of the announced 10 yeah. candidates of the 23 that have been approved for the September, I think, 12th and 13th debate.
Why does anybody take her seriously? I mean, even the Oprah producers stopped returning her phone calls. All right, and finally. Oh, wait, no, this is number two. Hold on.
Number one.
Forget what he just said. This is still number two. Here we go. Remember this song?
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the old town road.
Who can forget it? Number one for 19 weeks in a row. Okay. Which, of course, means something totally different than I thought it meant 18 yeah. weeks ago. It has been replaced at number one by Billie Eilish's Bad Guy.
So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Oh, God.
Duh.
It's actually a good song.
Duh. Yes.
I don't know why it took so long.
It's pretty wild. That
yeah,
song.
It is.
And that's she's 17, right? Billie Eilish?
Yeah, she's a teenager for sure.
What? Yeah. Really? That song's pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
No, 17, yeah. You're right. Born in 2001.
But, yeah.
Now I feel weird listening to it.
It changes everything, doesn't it? It's like, what?
17.
Well, she wears the baggy clothing. You know, she's got the whole thing going. She's got like this whole, you've got a look. She's the whole, she's did the full 100% performance.
There's a lot of darkness to her, though, isn't there?
Yes. And she's only 17.
Death. Duh.
At 17, though. At 17. Boy, I'd love to know about her life experience.
I don't know if you do.
Maybe not.
All right. Okay. Anyway, congratulations to Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Let me hear that again. I thought I heard something. I got to check this. I got to take this to the Ministry of Good Taste or whatever we have now. After Marianne Williamson's done with peace, I'm going to do like a ministry of, under the Trump administration, there should be nobody having sex or talking about it or anything like that. Because, you know, that man stands for moral virtue.
So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy.
Duh.
Oh, boy.
She's got talent.
Yeah. I don't know if I like the Velociraptor effect on the vocal thing. I don't know how I feel about that. It's very disquieting. But I'd like to go to Concrete Cowboy and dance to that. Now, finally.
Number one.
Then own what you said. Hey, then own what you said. Listen, man, I don't have a problem with you, man.
You're going to have a problem.
What? What are you going to do about it?
I'll ruin you,
man. Chris Cuomo addressed the elephant in the room last night and has returned to his CNN eponymous show. He said he was back from his break. He didn't exactly acknowledge whether he was breaking or not breaking. I watched the top of that thing.
Oh, you did?
He's going to say something. He didn't say anything until the very end. He dragged you through. That man's a broadcaster right there.
I knew what he's doing. Did he tease it? Coming up, I'll explain what happened.
No, he completely ignored it, and you got kind of mad. Like, wait, you can't ignore this. And he did like all the stuff he normally does, and he looked crazy with the steroid eyes right into the camera, and he was sweating out of his eyebrows with everything he does. And he was, he was doing that thing where he was making his pecs dance.
Oh, yeah.
All the things that he
does. His eyes bulging out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, he finally says,
thank you. Thank you to all who reached out in person, who sent messages. I appreciate it. That includes Mr. Hannity and Ms. Maddow. They acted as colleagues, not competitors, and I won't forget it. In fact, I'm not going to forget, and I will use all of the feedback. Because the key is for us to all be better, and that starts with me.
Okay.
All right. It's good he addressed it.
I like Billie Eilish better. I'll be honest with you. Duh. All right.
Yeah, at least she can admit she's a bad guy.
Right.
Right.
Good point.
Duh.
Closing it up now.
The top five at five.
Duh.
Number one song in America now.
How about that? A 17-year-old.
Billie Eilish and Bad Guy. Yeah, it's really well produced. It's a great record, but it is it's just creepy, man. It's just creepy. And then she turns into a reptile. It's creepy. I'm sorry, can't get over that. I got issues.
Yeah.
And she does, and as Kevin pointed out, she's 17 and she's saying things.
Something about seducing and
right.
His cologne on her or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's what that meant, but okay.
I don't know. It's just got those sort of vibes to it, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's 27 million monthly listeners on Spotify.
Wow.
So she's, yeah.
She's Mars, having a good run.
She's got another really big hit that came out before Bad Guy, I think.
Bury a Friend?
Yeah.
That sounds really...
It is also dark, but it's also very good.
Should we find out what that's all about? Can we now?
This music seems
that,
right up Lauren's alley. I can really see why she's digging this.
Is this? Do we know if this is a radio edit? Because I don't want to get. I don't want to end up in the boss's office again. Why don't you run for me? What are you wondering? Why do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go? Come here. Say it, spit it out. What is it exactly? Your pain is the amount cleaning you out. Am I satisfactory? Today I'm thinking about the things that are deadly. The way I'm drinking you down, like I wanna drown, like I wanna end me. Step on the glass, staple your tongue. Bury a friend, try to wake up. Cannibal class, killing the sun. I want to end me.
I have to sleep with the light on now.
Wow.
I have to sleep with the light on. I don't like that. Oh,
could
no.
Be the musical score for a horror movie.
Oh, that's dark.
Yes.
I mean, I know dark, and that's dark.
It's very different.
Yeah.
She's very talented, you can tell. Totally mm-hmm. unique sound and that kind of thing, and perspective.
Who's producing
17?
That?
Wow.
Yeah, what's her story? Where's she from? Yeah.
She's from L.A., it sounds like. Her brother is Alistair from Glee.
Any Glee?
Who's that?
Any Glee fans out there?
But a musical family. Both her parents were actors and musicians and that kind of thing. She's the first Gen Z to make it to the Billboard 100.
Oh. Interesting. Wow.
First person born in the 2000s.
Those records are both those records Finneas O'Connell produced? Because that's the guy who's going to win the Grammy for that right there, because that's really wild. But it's dark. It's dark, and then the next thing, and it's like, does she ever have a happy day? She wears like these clothes. If you, she was on the Grammys last.
She was.
Yeah, or one of those shows. It was either. I'm pretty sure it was Grammys, not American Music Awards, because the only people who show up at American Music Awards, people have already won. But she's got like a whole style thing going. She's like. She wears like big boxy stuff.
Yeah, she was wearing a Powerpuff Girls like suit, really baggy suit in one of
that's
the
awesome.
Red carpet.
Right. And there was an argument that she was doing it because she was a statement about women who were sexualized.
Oh, interesting.
But then she goes, no, that's not it. So what is it? None of your business. You know, it's like, okay, all right, okay, we won't ask. I'm sorry for even looking at you.
Hey, I think that's better. You do see a lot of teenagers really sexualized that are artists.
That's true. At a
so
really young
that's
age.
Her point or not, you know, I think it's nice to take a break from it.
It almost felt like you had to do that, right? As an up and coming teenager to get attention.
That's
right.
What I had to do.
For guys, it's different. But I mean, you look at Britney Spears and even Katy Perry. I mean, like, I don't know. There are a lot of examples.
First crush, Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
What did that mean? All right. All I know is that she's made a splash here, and she's number one on the charts.
That's huge.
Billie Eilish taking down the whatever the hell that thing was that we were...
The country rap song.
Old Town Road.
I don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah. It kind of became its own genre. I think that's why it took off, because mm-hmm. it was like, what are we listening to? But right. I kind of can listen to it without... I didn't hate it. Some people are like, I can't listen to that song. I was like, you know, I don't know. I don't go out of my way to listen to it. But if it's on, I'm not like smashing my radio with a baseball bat. You know, it was just different. So it kind of makes sense that it did stick.
Okay.
I think it stuck because the controversy about it being a country song. And then they made it a country song
right.
by adding.
Like, that's what
oh,
I
yeah.
mean. Like the whole... Yeah. It just became a conversation.
And it still right. is. Now they're arguing if it's going to be nominated, I guess, for some kind of country music award.
Well, they have to do it now because it was really weird what they did. So this play it so people know what we're talking about here. Yeah, I want to take my horse to the hotel. So this is Lil Nas X, right? And also Billy Ray Cyrus is in this, but Billy Ray Cyrus did not write this song.
He appears in it.
He appears in it. Because it would be 20 years from number one to number one. Because Billy Ray Cyrus with that, keep it up there. Head is mad at black, got the boosters black to match. Riding on a horse, you can whip your Porsche. It's a song about a horse. It should be a country hit. Anyway, it was rising on the country charts, and then they were like, no. Oh, hell no. We're not putting that on the country chart.
They got so mad.
No, there's not. Now, wait one second here. I've seen this boy, and that is not a country song. We ain't going to. Now, Billy Ray, now, he's in this, and I got respect for Billy Ray. Ever since Achy Breaky Heart. And then that little girl that, related to him. What is her name? That girl down at Disney Show. Whatever happened to her? Anyway, I respect that, but we're not going to let that happen. I'm going to tell you right now. And that's basically what happened in a sort of a business way. That's what happened to Lil Nas X. And then people were like, well, wait a second. Why is that not a country song? Because it's got kind of a country thing to it. It was getting play on country radio. And then country radio was like, well, oh, damn. And then Lil Nas X came out as gay. And screwed up everybody when he did that. It was like, now all of a sudden the urban radio people are like, oh, hell no. It was like, no one knew exactly what to make of this whole deal.
Right, it's its own creature. It's its own thing.
And you got, but it's Billy Ray Cyrus, right? Who 20 years ago couldn't get off the charts. I mean, was this really the best song of 1999?
Hat down, cross town, living like a rock star. Spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar.
Oh no, this is not. This is from. This is obviously from Lil Nas X. But the Achy Breaky Heart. Can you find that for me? Or 30 years ago, it's 89. I'm sorry, 1989. It's like, really? Is that? I mean, this.
It was catchy. People would sing along to it, but was it genius? I don't know.
30 years between number one hits, and he had the longest run. If I'm not mistaken, this was like the longest number one run ever in the history of country. You can tell the world you never was a girl. You can burn my clothes when I'm gone. Oh, you can tell your friends just what a fool I've been. And laugh and joke about me on the phone. Yeah, God. Tell my arms go back into the front. You can tell my feet to hit the Miley wasn't even born yet when this came out.
Oh, you can tell crazy. My lips to tell my fingertips. They won't
be reaching out for you no more. Now here we go. Don't tell my heart, my neck can break your heart. Just don't think he'd understand. Alright, that's not exactly Lil Nas X with this horse. And then when he came out as gay, it turns out that lyric meant something different. Can I hear that, please? Lil Nas X.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
See? That means something else. That's no Achy Breaky Heart.
What does it mean?
Okay.
Is there like some secret?
I'm not gonna explain it to you.
What?
If I have to explain it to you, I'm just not gonna do it.
Achy Breaky Heart, by the way, big gains in streaming and sales right now because of the success of that.
Right. People are like, what is that?
What was that guy? Who's that guy?
Right. Oh, that's Miley Cyrus's dad? What?
Really? He had a number one?
30 years in between. And apparently didn't write Achy Breaky Heart either.
No, he didn't. He did not.
So, what are you going to do? Anyway, the bottom line is that now the country music industry has to somehow pay attention again to Lil Nas X's song, because now everybody's accusing everybody else of being, culturally insensitive. it's just turned into something like kind of ridiculous. It's music. All right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck.
Old Town Road had a good run.
It's still,
too good of a run.
It's still around. You still can't
escape it.
It's everywhere.
Go a day without hearing it somewhere. you know, coming out of a cell phone store. That's I don't know how it works, but that's how it works. I don't know what they're listening to. All right, let's do this. I got to tell you that coming. Oh, did you see what this is going to drive me absolutely insane?
Hmm.
The thermostat recommendations from the Department of Energy.
I have thoughts on this.
Oh,
this is very polarizing topic.
Yes,
very polarizing topic in many workplaces and homes.
We're going to have this conversation. We're going to sit down as a family, and we're going to have this conversation right after Jen tells us what's happening in the news at the top of the hour.
Now, the Sterigenics plant in Willowbrook has been under fire, but now we're getting reports that their plant in Atlanta is also causing problems.
I cannot wait to talk about this on the other side of Jen's news, that the U.S. Department of Energy, Energy Star program, like you get your appliances, and they get that sticker on it with the Energy Star thing. I always wondered, now who the hell's doing that?
Right. Who's behind that?
Right. Why would you do? Why you do me like that? Refrigerator? I'm just interested in you being cold. Don't give me a lecture.
And why can't I cut off the tags on my mattress while we're at it?
Yeah, that's
my pillows.
Penalty of law.
Right. Right. How many people are in for that, do you think? Anyway, what the U.S. Department of Energy is suggesting that we do for our thermostats, I can't believe in the Trump administration they would let this happen. So one time I want Trump to be all Trump.
I have so many thoughts on that.
Oh, wait till you hear what you should set your thermostat to in the summer, at day and at night. It's the night one that's really ridiculous.
Outrage. Pure outrage.
I
haven't seen it yet.
Don't look.
I won't.
Don't look. And who are you, Energy Star? Who are you really?
How you came up with it?
I don't know, but whoever
the
it is.
The devil? I think you guys are coming from different sides of this, though. That's
maybe the
interesting part.
I don't think we are.
All right, hold on. Everybody, stay right here. The Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about this.
I think we're going to get in a fight over this one.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
We ever? This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Energy Star, the federal program run by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Trump said, no more EPA.
Yep.
You know, and I was so offended by that until I read this story. And now I think he might be right. I'll tell you why. Report says that thermostats in the summer should be set at 78 degrees for optimum comfort and savings. 78.
Absolutely bananas.
Hold on. Hold on. At night?
Yeah.
At while night. Sleeping? Actually, first, when you leave your house, you should set it to 85. Okay? That's what you do.
Well, that's to save, because if you're gone for 10 hours,
that's reasonable if you're not going to be
five.
But you know how long it takes to get back down?
Right. I thought that was the whole point. Okay,
but wait, hold on.
Okay.
But then at night, so you're thinking, all right, well, you said it's 78 during the day. Okay, fine. Well, you got to go cooler at night, right? No! Wrong! 82
oh my God.
At night.
Blasphemy.
I couldn't do that. And I do like it very warm. 82 is too much.
How do you breathe?
Ugh.
I keep it at like 68 at night, and I have one of those cooling pads on top of my bed.
Oh, gosh.
It is so uncomfortable and impossible to sleep when it's hot.
I have one of those Nest thermostat situations, and I can turn it to eco right before I leave. So it's not blowing AC at full blast while I'm gone. Wasting the AC, wasting the energy.
I waste the AC. Yeah. I just don't know if maybe the spiders and stuff aren't comfortable. I just want to make sure everything's all right.
But sometimes the Nest, I don't know, the thing's got a mind of its own. It'll go to eco like in the middle of the night, and I'll wake up just drenched and sweat. I'm like, who
that happens to me too. That happens to me too.
I'm dying over here.
With the Nest, you go over and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't set it at 81.
It is nice though, because it's all Wi-Fi. You pull it
maybe
up.
Maybe
you
said
phone.
Something to it.
I
you know how these things now know what you're thinking.
They do. They do track your speech.
Well, and the thing that sucks is a lot of multiple story buildings, you know, if you have a second floor, third floor, whatever, I don't know how everyone is, but even if it's set at like 72, it feels like 80 upstairs because of how difficult it is for the air to travel up.
Also, well, no, hot air rises. That's what does it.
Right. But, I mean, imagine having it at 80-something. It's going to feel like 90...
Right.
1,000.
Yeah, can't do it right. Can't do it with the thermostat downstairs. And, by the way, it knows if you're looking for another thermostat, Kev. Did you go look for another thermostat, and then the thermostat finds out that you were, like, looking for another thermostat?
Or even try Googling, I need another thermostat. Your Nest will know.
Between my thermostat and my smart speaker at home, they know more about me than anybody I actually talk to.
I'm sorry, I can't do that, Kevin.
95 degrees when I wake up.
Right. Well, oh my God, you're trying to kill me.
I'll show you.
The smart house that tried to kill you.
But haven't we been told a million times? I hear Lou Manfredini talking about this, the AC experts. You never let it get that hot in the summer because then it says it actually takes more energy to get the AC to catch up and cool the house down, right?
Right.
Haven't we been told that for years?
Unless you're setting it to 85 at night. So 70, you get home and it's 70, you had it at 78, right? And you're like, oh. Ooh, it's kind of hot in here. We better set it to 85. How ridiculous is that? What are they asking for in the winter, by the way? It should be 34 and 38. I mean,
saving a lot of energy. Hey, they're going against medical professionals because medical professionals say that you should sleep colder.
Oh,
you
sleep better. Sure. I pump the AC at night. In the summertime, I'm okay with being in the house and having to like wear a sweatshirt. That's comfort to me. Yeah. I like it ice cold in the house.
I sometimes wake up with icicles on my nose in the middle of July.
But it's refreshing.
Yeah.
I totally sleep with a fan blowing on me with the AC low and then have like a down comforter.
Yeah.
Now, what they say, they also add that to the story, which is that you can get up to 4 degrees comfort from having a fan, from having a ceiling fan. Without four degrees, it'll go down by 4 degrees and you will not lose any comfort. If you bump your you bump up to 82 degrees, you might get down to 78 if you have a ceiling fan. No, you won't.
I don't think so.
No, you won't. You're just going to get hot air blown across you.
I'm reading the story on when this was released because I saw this and people went nuts on Twitter. On the Twitter thread from the initial post, outrage from AC devotees who are now turning their thermostats down to 57 degrees in protest. Like, I can relate it. I was so angry when I saw this story. Because some people don't understand how some people run hot. Like, I run so hot. The sports studio where I'm sitting right now is probably like 68 degrees, and I'm in comfort. If I had to sit in when Lauren sits in the traffic booth, I would have quit a long time ago. I can't handle
We need a thermometer in here to really know how hot.
Look, if it's 95 degrees and I'm on the golf course, I'm fine with that. I love that. But if I'm sitting inside somewhere and it's like 75, I'm sweating, and I'm uncomfortable, and I can't focus.
According to sleep.org, the ideal temperature for sleeping is 60 to 67 degrees.
That's what I'm talking about.
Look out.
I'll go 60.
Yeah,
I'll
look out. 60. That's a luxury when it's 60.
I'm sleeping for at least 8, 9, 10 hours. Yeah. I'm laying on pillow cloud.
Right, and you got the whole thing, and you're wrapped. I wrap myself up like a burrito at that point. I'm like ready to go, and then one toe out just to be like the sort of the canary in the coal mine of cold. So like, you know, one toe to go. All right, is it cold up there? All right, good. All right, I'm good.
I swear, when summer shows up, I'm like getting ready for battle. I whip out the thinnest sheets you could possibly find. I get the cooling pad out, get the AC tuned up, get the fan full blast all day every day. Because I know when I go to bed, if it's not optimal temperature, I'm not sleeping.
See, now in the winter, the government claims that you should, when you're out of the house, it should be 56 degrees in the house.
What?
Should set your thermostat 56. To 56.
That's crazy.
And then when you get at night, 64, is that right? Is it 68 during the day?
Is this a Russian plant story? So we all argue with each other on Twitter about the optimal thermostat
temperature.
This
one seems pretty unifying, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's true. But it does tick a lot of
people
off. Here's
something else. ClevelandClinic.org recommends 60 to 67 degrees for optimal sleep.
That's what I'm talking about.
Even they're on the site. They're trying to kill us. Yeah, there's something.
Did somebody
sinister.
Screw this up? Was it supposed to be 68 and 75 and 72? No. You got the digits wrong, man.
They say
68, not 78.
Babies and toddlers, a bit higher. 65 to 70 degrees is the best sleeping temperature.
All right, fine. You know what? We'll put a lamp on them. We'll put one like a chicken coop. I mean, that's fine. I don't want to deal with any of the, electric blanket or something. I don't know.
Even that's only up to 70, 78.
Heater. I don't know. Don't put a space heater in the baby's room.
No,
that's very freaky.
No.
But you know what I mean?
You don't want to do that.
We'll figure something out for the baby. Fine. We'll cover the heaters or the coolers. Whatever. But yeah, do not take my 60-something away from me while I'm asleep. And 68, I'll be honest, too high. Way too high. I want it like 64. I want people to be, like, I've had people walk into my house and start to cry immediately.
Your place is cold. It is like a freezer.
That's how it's done.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, aren't you better off just opening the windows if it's supposed to be 82 or something?
Right. I mean, if your home, inside of your home is warmer than outside, you can't live like that.
Well, in theory, it wouldn't. It just wouldn't kick the AC on. That would ensure no AC being kicked on. If they told you to set your thermostat to 85 right. while you're gone.
So did this also take into consideration the awful humidity in the Midwest? Or is this like a Southern California thing where it's all dry?
Has EPA responded to the outrage from basically every single American?
I don't know. Wait till Trump finds out people are mad at his government. He's going to, all right, where's the EPA guy? Firing him. Maybe an execution is called for. I'm not sure.
Trump's got to be a low AC guy.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
He runs high.
Yeah.
You don't want that orange to leak. The sweat marks look really
turned
bad.
Turned it over 65. Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Right, exactly. That's not a good thing. That's the thing. Like, when you're sleeping at night, you got to have a certain amount of skin has to be out just to know that it's like, you want your face kind of out, because if you bury your face, then you can't breathe. That's a separate issue. They say that's not good for sleeping. But, I have this thing where I kick my feet out, then I kick them back in, kick them out, kick them back in.
Uh-huh. Kind of fold one leg over the edge of the blanket. I do that
right.
Sometimes.
Yes. So it's almost like landing gear. And I don't, just sort of like extended. And then I go, I'm at an altitude now. As soon as it gets cold enough, I dump it in. Oh, my feet's cold. That's good.
Right.
I have like hot feet syndrome. I always have my feet out with a fan on just my feet.
Oh.
Because I don't know why. They become 80 times more warm than the rest of my body at night.
Should have that looked at.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right.
Well, 630, your AC won't even go to the setting of 82. That might be true.
I think that's
because in the car,
saying.
That's
it
not
true.
It
wouldn't even kick on.
I can't do 82. Yeah, right. It's ridiculous.
It is Putin. Putin's behind this. He's trying to get us all mad about this.
I can connect to my Nest right now. See if I get to 82.
Yeah, see if it goes.
Screw with the
work.
Roommate. What are you doing, man?
Turn the heat on. That's what you should do. That's a way that that's a way to get even with your ex. Is if you've got like the Nest.
Got the password.
Yeah.
The EPA says this is where it should be.
Oh, screw the EPA.
Okay, it's at Eco right now.
Well, I can tell what
yours is.
This will be fun.
We have two different zones, and sometimes they fight with each other.
I got 70 and 67 right now. I got 70 downstairs, 67 upstairs. Because 67 upstairs has got to get, because to Lauren's point, it's too warm, right? Because the higher you go in a house. And I live, my house is 4x4 square feet floors, right? So you're just walking upstairs, stopping, walking up more stairs, stopping, and it's about 80 stories tall.
That's right.
Yes.
What's nice about your place, so you could just leave the refrigerator open because it's that cold. It won't really make a difference.
You forget to close the door, no biggie.
It doesn't matter. It's that pinging sound is bothersome, but other than that, it really doesn't matter.
The other problem is the rooms with the windows facing kind of where the sun is setting, because then it's really extra toasty. Which is the problem I have.
With big windows or something
right.
like that.
Right. That's another reason why it's so hot in my room at night, no matter what the air is at.
I got the butcher paper from the FBI. I just put that up now in the windows in the summer.
They're like, what's going on at Rose House?
Keep the sun from coming.
What's happening?
In. Yeah.
I saw that once at City Hall.
Mm-hmm. I painted my windows black with latex paint for the summer. It's very heroin chic, but I did it because I thought that's the way that,
maybe the EPA should be more concerned with the cyanide that gets dumped into the lake and stuff like that. Let's
or just lower the prices.
Yeah.
We don't need to conserve then if you lower it.
Somebody screwed this up.
There has to be.
Like, Jim, it's 68, 75, and 72. He's like, okay, 78, 85, 82. Submit email, send this out as a press release, send it out to the media folks. I think everybody will be just fine with these temperatures.
Do not.
85?
Why did you give the memo to the dyslexic guy?
And there's something happened here. There's no way you can live your life like this.
All right. Okay. Let's check in now with Jen. What's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Charges have been filed against an Indiana man accused of abducting a 16-year-old girl. Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
I've never seen this crew so animated as we were about the thermostat suggestions by the federal government.
It's a sensitive topic.
And so united as a show. Normally somebody's got a...
Well, who wants to sleep in heat? I mean, is there anybody who sleeps well in heat?
No, I don't think so. Again, the devil. That's why I said he wrote it.
Something fishy going on here. There's going to be more of this story.
Yeah. Because I've never heard the recommendation goes up at night. You should set your thermostat to 82 at night. Now, I remember that was one of the things that was, you know, during the great heat crisis here in the mid-90s, was that people were dying because their bodies never got below 80 degrees at night.
Oh, my gosh. So it could be a dangerous recommendation.
Yeah. That's right. That's a dangerous. That's right. We should what?
Yes.
We need to march on Washington. Finally. Something that we can all agree on.
This actually might unite America completely. Finally, one thing that unites us all. Because every single piece of news just divides us as a country, but not this.
This is almost genius by Jared Kushner. If he's going to get rid of the EPA, this is the best way to do it. Say the EPA is recommending this, right. And then they go, now are we getting rid of the EPA?
We don't need them.
Everyone's like, sure.
Yeah, let's get rid of the EPA.
We don't need them.
Those are the jerks with the 85-degree recommendation.
Even though they're keeping, as you said, even though they're keeping the cyanide out of the drinking water, get rid of them. Because, you know, these corporations will always do the right thing when it comes to pollution. Oh. They're never, ever going to make a mistake. They're always going to watch out for
the environment. When no one's watching, they'll always do the right thing.
Yeah.
We've learned that.
Yes, we see that happening very well here in Chicago. So it's fine. Oh, my God. All right.
But you do say 4% for every degree you keep it higher.
Whatever.
4%?
4%.
That's not enough for me.
Not although, worth it.
Although my thermostat, my electric, you know, meter, it runs like a meat slicer. I mean, it's like...
Gets going, revs up.
You cannot believe what my electric bills are. I can't believe what my electric bills are. And then I get an email from them, or no, a text. This is the worst. You get a text like, you know what you might want to do is turn your electricity off, because we're in a peak time right now. And I'm like, shut up, robot!
Well, you're not home for hours on end. Wouldn't hurt you to bring it down a little bit. I mean, bring it up a little bit.
Whose side are you on?
You have a house that's easy to cool because of the 80 feet that's tall that it is.
It's really hard to cool because of that. Because the heat rises. Yeah. You know what?